Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Lewis Howard from the Payments and Cards podcast. On today's show, we had Shekhar Bialik, CEO of Curve, great fintech company coming to you out of London and Bristol. We discussed a number of things, including PSD2 and open banking. Of course, all of Curve's fantastic and I think game-changing new products. And most importantly of all, recruitment, which is a real issue for growing fintechs worldwide right now, but especially in hotspots like London. I hope you enjoyed the show. Shekhar, what I'd like to do, if you would kindly tell our audience a little bit about yourself, about Curve. It's very much in the press at the moment. We've all been reading a lot about it in our fintech subscription, in our fintech news feeds. Just give our audience a quick introduction to the company and tell us what it does.
Hi, everyone. So my name is Shekhar Bialik. Originally, I'm from Israel. That's the origins of my great accent. I came to the UK about 6+ years ago with the goal of opening my fifth startup. I really want to open a startup in payments and banking. Today, it's all called fintech. And we're going to go to the journey of Curve in a moment. But previously to Curve, in Israel, I had four other companies, started at the age of 21, right after the army. The first company was mobile telecommunication, web protocol. The second one was e-commerce website for security products called Door Center. And the third one is started as an NGO, as a medical cannabis company, sold the company, made it for profit and then sold the company. And eventually, just for leaving Israel, the last company was an applicant tracking system, which was sold to a large group in Israel. I became the CEO of the group, led it to acquisition, and then left for a year off, kind of enjoying life at INSEAD and doing an MBA while doing so. The idea behind Curve is quite simple, is we believe that our finances are extremely fragmented and there's too much choice, a lot of noise, and we don't really know what's going on with our money. And we believe that there's a better way to access everything from one place, to rebundle our finances together without having to choose one over the other, but enjoy the entire world and offering that finance and fintech offers today, but from one single interface. It is a great vision, and many companies actually today aware of this vision and chasing that. I want to assume that we were amongst the first. And the only difference, the key difference between us and everyone else in the market is that we don't believe that the way to the market is to build a better bank. In fact, we think your bank is doing a great job keeping your money safe. And therefore, the approach Curve took, which was kind of very much trailblazing approach, very much unique in the market, so unique and new that we had to create new regulations to allow us to operate. And the paradigm is very much different than the banking paradigm, but it's very much similar to the paradigm you could find in companies like Spotify or WhatsApp or Netflix or Amazon, which is build an over-the-top banking platform, connecting all your accounts, all your cards, all your different financial products and services into one single interface that give you better, faster, cheaper, more convenient financial products and services. So you download the Curve app from the app stores. Within a minute, you're on board on the platform, start adding all your cards and accounts, get a new Curve card within the next day or 2 days later. And from then on, all your cards are in one card and one app. And from there, some magic starts to emerge. All your cards become zero effects. You no longer have to have a third-party service and pre-buy currencies and think how much you want to budget and spend during the trip. Just keep using the cards you trust and love, and they all become fee-free when you spend abroad. You can go back in time and change if you made a transaction on the wrong card or account, and go back in time and change your, if you change your mind and go back in time and change the card that was charged. You can get 1% cash back from your favorite retailers such as Amazon, Netflix, Tesco, Sainsbury, instantly into your Curve Cash card, seal or spend in one place, and a host of other benefits available for the customer with a tap.
That's amazing, Shekhar. Thanks for all of that and a bit of background about your own entrepreneurial upbringing there as well. Let me just pick into one of those products that Curve allows for. This is the back in time feature. This is something that time travel. Yes, this is something that I've not seen before. It seems very novel and potentially very, very useful, especially if you've bought something on a card that perhaps you shouldn't have. Perhaps there's a risk of going into overdraft through that purchase, and you may wish to swap that transaction retroactively to another card that has more money on it. I can see all sorts of life-saving uses for this. Can you just walk us through that product again and elaborate on that and just how useful and how original that product is?
Of course. So I think let's start kind of with the end, which is being an over-the-top banking platform gives you a lot of capabilities, both in functionality and in terms of revenue, cost, efficiencies. And because we're sitting on top of all your finances, we can give you control and a better experience across all your finances. That means that if you want to move money from one account to another because you changed your mind or because you mistakenly paid with the wrong card, Curve allows you to do that. And the reason we can do that, it is really just because of the OTT banking paradigm of sitting on top. If you're a bank, you cannot go back in time because there's nowhere to go back in time to. You only have that account that you're using and you have to use that account. And whereas Curve is an ability to see all your spend and have write access, read-write access into your spend and allow you to do that. Initially, that product came about because we want to minimize any friction in the checkout funnel. That means we didn't want customers to having to take their phone out and change a card, just pay with Curve. And later when you have time, you can go back in time and change to the right card. Also, when you don't have internet connection, you can't change the card you want to work with, and Curve allows you to do exactly that. But as we start to build the product, we realize that we can really use it for the benefit of the platform and our customers, because right now is to change the card to a better card or the right card if you like. But going forward, the go back in time functionality allows us to get cheaper credit or cheaper loans even after I've made the payment. And an example of a product we're introducing this year, Curve Credit, is basically allowing a customer to go back in time and split any spend, any transaction, any purchase they've made anywhere in the world, anytime, to multiple installments. So imagine, for example, you went to, booking.com and bought a trip for you and your family for £3,000 using a debit or credit card. With Curve, you'll be able to go back in time and split this transaction into 10 installments of £300 every month with one tap, regardless of the merchants, regardless of the location, regardless of the time. And we can do that because we have this go back in time functionality, which is, by the way, patented. So that's kind of where it's come from and the effectiveness of the platform.
This is something radically new for me. And let me just make sure I've fully understood it. So when I buy on, say, Klarna in Europe or maybe GreenSky in the US, I get that buy now, pay later facility at the point of purchase. That's when I see my installment plan. Using Curve, can I add an installment plan after the point of purchase? Let's say a week later, I decide to set up a repayment plan then using the back in time function. Am I reading that correctly?
Exactly. Doesn't matter the retailer. We don't need to have any relationship with the retailer. Doesn't matter which account. In fact, doesn't even matter the time. You can go back in time and split into installment any amount you have on your card and transaction you've made. We may, for regulatory reasons or risk reason, limit the time. But in principle, we can afford to do it even a year later. You say, shit, this transaction was too big on me. I need more cash flow. Let's split it into installment. And with one tap, you can do that.
This is great. See, especially for people who may have a proclivity to perhaps overspend, a little bit of reckless spending, a little bit too much shopping, perhaps, this is an additional safety feature for them.
It teaches more than that, even as you said, but it's even more than that, because today one of the biggest problems we have in the UK is that last research already was from 2017 by the FCA, and this last research that published is that 70% of the entire credit card debt in Europe is in the UK. So that means that the UK credit card debt is quite high compared to the GDP and the total loans that exist. And we all know that making a loan or incurring credit card debt, it is not the most efficient way of managing your finances. And the reason people do it is because it's available and they don't realize what a compounding interest or APR means. With Curve Credit, the ability to basically split into installment any transaction you've made in the past, you as a customer, A, see exactly how much you need to afford, how much exactly you need to pay back every month, and you can figure out whether you can afford it or not quite immediately, because we're very intuitive with cash flow. As customers, as people, we know whether we can afford ourselves an extra £300 going out of my account every month. We definitely don't know how to forecast or manage compounding interest. Can I afford 24% APR for this £1,000 or not? To realize that, you have to start doing compounding and management of interest and risks. Whereas with here, you have a prepayment plan where you can realize in terms of cash flow, easier to understand, less likely not to pay the bill and incur insane amount of interest, mm-hmm. because you have a prepayment plan embedded in the financing product itself.
Hey, this is Jonathan from Block Data. FYI, 40% of big companies will invest at least $5 million into blockchain initiatives this year. Block Data helps these companies understand what's going on through market intelligence on the blockchain ecosystem. If you'd like to find out more, just Google Block Data.
Yep, brilliant. And I think it's through tools like this that fintechs can really endear themselves to the public at large. There's a lot of people who aren't so tech savvy, who aren't so finance savvy, who can really save some money through using tools like this. People who you might a few years ago not thought of as your particular fintech users, your early adopters, once they see that they can control their finances better through things like this, you could see a whole new generation of customers coming through. So I think it's fantastic. You mentioned in your last sentence there, the FCA, that's the Financial Conduct Authority, for any non-Brits listening in. I wanted to zoom up, Shakar, for a moment, up from Curve and look a bit at the macro environment. It seems to me that Curve is quite reliant on the implementations and outcomes of PSD2, the new payment service directive coming out at the EU level. You would have seen that the FCA postponed the part of that recently, the strong consumer authentication part of this. They're dragging their heels. It's quite complicated. Not everybody is ready. Could you tell us a little bit what PSD2 and open banking more broadly means to Curve and how you intend to continue to take advantage of that to help grow Curve and make it compliant and make it more customer friendly?
Sure. So let's start from the very high up. It's a very good question. So let's start from the very high up and break it down. So first, kind of to understand the origin of the name Curve of the company was because we are riding on the wave of regulations. And if you surf, you know that if you really want to ride the wave nicely and not crash into the water, you have to start standing up on the board as on the curve, as the wave begins to curve, and then you'll be able to enter into the wave itself, into the funnel. So that's kind of where the name came from. And the reason is because we knew that competition law and where the market is going in terms of level playing field, we knew that that will emerge new legislation to support Curve and protect Curve. By the way, not only Curve, many other fintechs that have emerged since PSD1 and then PSD2 will protect Curve in the market, ensuring we can grow. As we start building Curve and the hypothesis of the product around Curve, we also knew that PSD2 will allow Curve to have simpler, more convenient and secured access into customers' account. So it is no longer PSD2 real breath of news or fresh air. was that as a customer, I own the data, I own the account, the bank are merely facilitating that. Now I can choose to give access to my data, access to any party which I confirm, which is registered and I confirm to give access to. And if you see what Curve does, Curve started the vision of PSD2 even before PSD2 was in place. So connecting to PSD2's open banking API that started here in the UK as the North Star and then move to the European Commission is actually very beneficial for us. And we're looking to continue to integrate to the various open banking infrastructure and PSD2 infrastructure that allows the customer to have more convenient experience. And in terms of kind of more things we're looking to do based on PSD2, I would say it's less about PSD2 really. It is more about the movement of the markets. The markets in, I think, many vectors and spaces, not just payments, but copyrights law, patents law, is moving towards more openness and allowing, enabling newcomers, new entrants that doesn't have the cash flow or the brand of the incumbents to tap into the market and increase competition. And that's very good for us fintech guys. Fintech members, because we are here to disrupt the markets and we are required to build our products upon the shoulders of giants, people who own the infrastructure, whether it's banking infrastructure or intra-banking network infrastructure or the networks themselves. And having the regulator and competition authorities on side of, I want to increase competition in the market, I want to focus on consumer benefits, helps bring those great propositions to life. And Curve is a great example for that, but many others as well. I think Monzo is a great example for that. Starling Bank, who got access to the faster payments network like many other banks has, but among startups is among the very few that has done that so early, is a great example of that.
Yes, indeed. I definitely concur. I would put Curve in that kind of company, which brings me to, and I hope you don't mind me speaking about it here on this podcast, the fabulous investment round that you received about a month back. It's my understanding that Curve received around $55 million worth of investment. So you are absolutely well placed to take advantage of all the things that PSD2 can offer, open banking and over-the-top banking services like the ones Curve offers. Talk us through a little bit, Shekhar, what you intend to do with this investment money. I know you've got a major European rollout on the horizon. What can we expect from Curve in the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, so this is very simple, kind of, well, maybe not so simple, but it's kind of, for us, very obvious. What to do with the money, and it was always obvious for us, which is our job as executive team and the board members here at Curve is to build a machine that wants to fly. And the reason is because we're not building a corner barber shop that can give us nice returns. We're looking to own the market or own several markets within the vertical of rebundling fintech. We're talking about a company that we're trying to build, which is in the billions of dollars worth. And you can't just build this kind of company with regular ways of managing businesses. You have to build it into growth. And growth basically means aerodynamic. So our job here is to build a company or a machine that wants to fly and accelerate the machine that we built to fly as much as we can so it can raise and lift off the runway. That's exactly what we do. By the way, not only us, many other fintechs that are operating within the same vertical as Curve does. Therefore, if you want to build a machine that wants to fly, the majority of the investment should and will come into and will be invested into the product. That means resources, people, tools, and budgets that allows us to increase our product teams, to develop a better product, to continue and rebundle the world of money and connect the different money tools and services you're using today into one single interface, continue and invest in the user experience and the user offering, because it is really not about marketing. Yes, it's about awareness, but awareness, as we can see from our data, is being delivered by word of mouth. And word of mouth has been delivered because you have a great product that solves a significant problem for a significant amount of people. And the only risk I see is in our ability to build that machine, in our ability to build a machine that wants to fly. And here, it is really all about execution risk or talent. So mm-hmm. most of the money, most of the investment, over 75% of the investment will go into finding the right talents, building the best teams we can build. Because it's a race. We have great companies next to us racing with different approaches and different type of talents and culture to the same goal. And you don't know who is going to be the winner yet. It still haven't been decided. And there's going to be more than one winner, very likely. And to make sure we win, we have the best. We need to have the best sports team, the most professional sports team in the world. And that's where the investment goes, to build and attract the most, the biggest, the best talent team.
Yep. Without the talent, you've not got the product. So I hear a lot of CEOs repeat this, that talent is front and center. I think that old cliche, the war for talent, applies more than ever to fintech. So I wanted to ask you a quick question about talent and recruitment. There's obviously so many fintechs out there now doing their best to get their hands on software engineers, product developers, people from finance backgrounds, both new and traditional finance backgrounds. How do you position yourself to attract the top talent, attract the kinds of candidates that might consider Monzo or Revolut or Klarna or N26, all these great cool new fintech companies? How do you make Curve a place for them to want to go and work and commit the next 3, 4, 5 years to?
It's a great question, which, by the way, is not so easy to answer. The way we approach it to Curve, and maybe that's because we have a lot of people from the Army and ex-Special Forces, including myself, is basically take the paradigm that exists in the Israeli Special Forces, which is we invest extremely heavily in identifying the right talent through a very, I won't say long, but very prudent interview process. And once we bring them in, we make sure we invest heavily in the talent. Every talent that joins the startup has the benefit of learning and impacting their career. And that's kind of what all startups offer. And what we offer that you're joining one of the best teams you will join in ever in your career. And one of the principles we apply in the company is the keepers principle. I don't know if you heard about the keepers test by Netflix. It's a similar principle. They actually took it from the Special Forces as well. And the keepers principle means that once we brought someone into the company, it went through the interview, the cultural fit, the skill fit, the professionalism, and we identified that talent as a true unique talent, whether it's raw talent that we need to develop, but we've identified huge potential, or because it's a really professional person that can bring skill set and knowledge into the company. Doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum, but we identified you as a unique talent. We invest heavily in this talent. And the question every manager here in the company asks themselves is a very simple question. If that person tomorrow is being poached by another firm, would I fight for him or her? If the answer is yes, even before the person poaches, even before the person comes to you and says, hey, I have challenges with my job, maybe I think another job, your job is to go to that talent and give them the best package you can. Not only salary or equity, but also title, responsibility, ownership, learning and development. We paying top market to top talents because it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. The second thing is that we don't have performance management. We do have this the other side of the keepers principle, which is if your manager cannot put hand on heart, look you in the eye and tell you, you're a keeper, I'm gonna give you whatever you need, that means that person is either, it means that it's probably not the right fit. There's a question now if it's more training and coaching we need to give the person, or we didn't hire correctly. And in this case, we give the talent a very, very significant severance package, and we help him to find his new role in his new career. And we very adamant about keeping the best A players and the best team members, because if you truly are ambitious about your career, if you truly want to make a change in the world, you have to give a lot from yourself, and you have to work as a very strong team player. And as a very strong team player, you have to be a team that is amongst the very best. And that's what we sell people. If you want to work with the very best, you want to be the very best, this is the place for you. So every startup will allow you to have an impact in your career, not significant in this curve. And plus, in top market, we're literally paying even more than Facebook and Google pays for our talents.
Well, there's a smashing advertisement right there, Shekhar, and thanks for sharing that with our audience, many of whom will be great fintech professionals themselves, and I'm sure they can
people in the next year. Come over.
So the keeper's principle, I like that. I like that a lot. And I like that as a rule of thumb in the recruitment stage, in the early stage, would I fight for this person were they to be headhunted in a couple of years' time? Already asking yourself that from the outset, I think that's really smart. And I've not heard that before. And I think that's definitely, for a company that's looking for exclusively top talent, that is a smart question to ask at the beginning of the recruitment process.
At the beginning and throughout the journey of the team member with the team. It's a constant question, and it's a very transparent and open and honest a culture where it is not only the job of the manager to tell the truth, it is also the job of the team member to go to the manager, look him in the eye, and expect a truthful and honest answer. Because we're here to help you in your career. And it may be that we made a mistake in the hiring, or the fit wasn't right, or that something in life happened that changed the fit for some reason. And it is fine. We're still very good friends. We're still going to help you going forward. And we're still going to probably try and fight for you if we think it's right for you. But it's a very honest and open, because you're one team and our lives are dependent on each other. Maybe no one will die from that, but definitely your career, which is as important.
Yeah, I guess after family, career is the most important thing. So it's not something you get wrong lightly. So, okay, we're at the halfway point on this hour. So I know time is money, Shekhar. So I'll wrap it up with one last, possibly most important question. Other than talent, so non-talent related, which is a constant ongoing problem for fintech companies, but other than that, what do you see as your biggest challenge in the next 1 year?
It is really about execution. We started myself, and it applies to anyone in my team. The company is growing extremely fast. And even me, even though it's my fifth company, it's the first time I'm venturing towards a scale-up company in this space and this size. That means that as a founder CEO, I just got a CEO title because I was the founder, not necessarily because I'm the most fit. My job and responsibility to grow with the company, to evolve with the company, so that I'm the right person to lead the company going forward. And with that, it means the right organization, the right structures, the right culture, the right people, and the right order of developing the product and partnership. It is really about good judgment and ability to learn and get feedback. And this applies not only to me, it applies to everyone on my team. I'm first and foremost, but everyone on my team. And it's challenging. It's challenging because you have to learn on the job and constantly every month be better. Very similar to customer growth. One month you brought 200,000 new customers. The next month, if you want to keep the same ratio of growth, you have to bring 220,000 customers, and then 250, and then 300. You have to increase as you go along. We have a joke on this in Hebrew, which says, I'll try to direct translate it from Hebrew. A guy asks someone, tell me, how do you constantly win those marathons competition? To which he answers, you start as fast as you can, and slowly, slowly you increase the pace. This is exactly the right analogy to what happens in companies like scale-ups like Curve. You start as fast as you can, and your job is to increase the pace. And the only way you can increase the pace, well, two ways. Either you can clone yourself, which is unlikely. If you find a way to do it, please let me know. Or you just learn how to do things smarter, more efficient, more effective. And that's the growth we need to have, the growth mindset we need to have in the company, anywhere from customer growth to product growth to people's growth.
Brilliant.
That's the challenge.
You start as fast as you can and you slowly increase the pace. So that is Mr. Shekhar Bialik. Shekhar, thank you very much for giving us this half hour podcast. It's been a joy. So we'll let you go now. Thank you very much for your time. Payments and Cards Network wishes you an excellent next 12 months. You'll be hearing from us, and we wish you all the very best, my friend.
It was my pleasure to be on the podcast and look forward to listening to it. Hope I didn't speak too fast.
No, it was perfect. You'll hear from us soon. Thank you, Shekhar.